Famicast 160, your Famicast 4, the latter part of October 2019. I'm your host, Danny Bibbins, and today I'm here with James Charlton.
Yes, it's James. That's my name, and I like video games.
That's right. And we're also here with Ty Sugar.
Oh, shit. It's time to get spooky.
Yeah, he's drinking. What are you drinking there, Ty?
Strong Zero.
There it is. That's for the uninitiated. This is the nectar of the gods. This is the drink.
The pro gamer drink.
Pro gamers in Japan go towards. Yeah.
And alcoholics.
That's what I said too. Good old 9%. Get your night going pretty good there.
Yep.
The choice of Japanese homeless men.
Yes. Well, no, that is one cup Ozeki, but nice try. And it's actually delicious.
Yeah. Take your word for it, mate.
I'm not homeless yet. Anyways, so we're just going to go ahead and kick off the show with some new business. So let's go ahead and get to it. And James, would you mind kicking things off? Oh, sorry, I know you're feeding your face.
Yeah, wasn't I wouldn't mind at all. What we're doing?
Right.
New beers.
Yes.
Where's that other guy?
Who?
The Irish fella.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Doesn't ring a bell.
That's good to see you, James Allen and Lemonade in the chat. It's family time. It is. It's family time. Okay, so shit, I got a lot of games to talk about. I guess I got extra time to talk about games now. In your face, nameless Irish man. first one kind of took me by surprise because I think it was kind of partially inspired by something I think maybe Ty was saying on maybe it was Discord or something, Discord chat, but like talking about like incredibly cheap games. Or, like, I'm not talking like free games, like, you know, like Fortnite. I mean, like, redonkulously cheap games. I think that was you, Ty, right?
Like, are we talking like games for a dollar or games that kill you without warning? I mean, you gotta be more clear about this.
No, like, even less than a dollar. Like, we're talking like, you know, 49 cents or less.
Oh, yeah. I'm all over that.
Right. So, and there was a. There was an article going around somewhere anyway about these kind of games, you know, trying to push them to the top of the eShop ranking. We talked about this before.
Yeah. Like
with that music game that Ty bought.
That's pretty good. So there's this whole thing where game publishers, they just game the algorithm and get rocketed up to top seller by discounting their game 99%.
Exactly. So I thought, so now the eShop has got a whole bunch of like filter settings for the search, right? So you can do it by price now. So I put it by price and then I put lowest to highest. And, you know, and that's not including free games. I didn't check the free games list, the free games checkbox. So it started off and there were games there on the eShop for like sub 50 cents. I was like, holy shit, these exist on the eShop too. So there's a whole bunch of, you know, shite down there. But like as you get up to like the $1, $2, you know, then it's actual games, you know. It's not just, you know, fucking browser games that they put on there or something. I mean, you know, there's some, you know, top tier games. I saw like that like Metroid like game from the Mutant Muds guys. I always forget the Zeo Drifter. That was down. That was like $2 or something. I was like, shit. Or two squids. I was on the British one. But anyway, I didn't find anything that I wanted or anything I did want I already had. And so I switched over to the completely free games and then expecting the usual, you know, the usuals there, right? You know, Fortnite, et cetera, et cetera. But then I saw this like driving game, like Asphalt 9. And I was like, oh, I remember that, right? I remember I probably played like Asphalt 1 on the fucking...
Yeah, that name rings a bell.
Yeah, like probably on the iPhone, you know, 3 or something, 3S, you know, way, way, way back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I got it free from the Windows Store for Windows 10.
Right. Well, no. These are free to play games.
Yeah, it's free. I was just skimming it for free games that have achievement points, and they're all like these shitty like tablet games,
right? So I think I've probably seen them on the whatever the app store and just like, yeah, pass, you know, I don't want to play a fucking racing game on my phone, right? Like, fuck that shit.
Well, Lemonade actually has Asphalt 1 on the N-Gage, so in your face.
Probably the best version. But the second best version, I would probably argue, is Asphalt 9 on the Switch, because this is like the latest version, right? It's the glossiest, you know, most highly produced version of the game they've ever done, right? But it's got controller, so, you know, in your face tablets. And this game looks really good. Like, you can't believe this is a free to play game. This is like, you know, like what those like Xbox driving games that everyone likes.
Forza.
It's like, I mean, Forza is like photorealism, right? But this is like, you know, very shiny, glossy, realistic looking cars. But, you know, it's not complete photorealism like those Forza games, but like, you know, the backgrounds are not like that high res, but like the cars and, you know, the immediate scenery is really, really highly good quality game, models and everything. And they've got real cars. These are not like fucking, you know, Dorsha. You know, this is like real. Real games. These are like Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Mitsubishis. These are actual fully licensed cars, right?
Wow.
So, like, in the tutorial, puts you in like a fucking one of the brand new Lamborghinis, and it's like you ride in there, and it's like, you know, I love those kind of like tutorials where it just like throws you right into the game. You like you press start, you're in the game, and you're already like moving, and it's telling you what to do while you're driving. It's got a really good tutorial, and and then obviously you don't get to keep the Lamborghini. That's just for the tutorial. Then you get to buy like, you know, like a more lower spec car, right?
like a $300 Toyota from like 1983.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with a cardboard engine.
It's not even a Hachiroku.
Right. So yeah, you start off with that, and then yeah, basically it's like, you know, typical unlock structure of any racing game. You know, you go through, you know, races, you earn coins, you win races, you unlock the next stage and stuff like that. And it does have it is a free-to-play game. So there are, you know, it is, you know, it's asking you like, hey, do you want to buy this car for this amount of coins? But it doesn't really bug you that much. It's like, it's very easy to completely forget that it is a free-to-play game.
Oh, that's nice of them.
And it is kind of scratching the itch that I've kind of wanted a realistic racing game to play on the Switch, because I am a fan of racing games, you know, driving games in general. James Allen just corrected me. It's the LaFerrari in the tutorial. Yeah, super cool. So, like, I looked at, like, you know, like the WRC game that came out, like, maybe last month on Switch, and that looks really good, but it's like, you know, $50, $60. It's like, well, you know, I want to play a racing game, maybe not that much. You know, I've been settled for like a mid-level kind of racing game. And then this comes along and it's like, you know, super high quality for free. It's like, yeah, thank you very much. You just like, you've saved me a lot of money here, because this is doing exactly what I wanted and it's completely free. So the free-to-play element is, you know, fuel, like you get like 6 cans of fuel, and then once you run out, then, you know, you can't play, and the timer comes up, and the timer was like 2 minutes or something, and I was like, okay. And I was just like upgrading my car in the menu, and just the time it took me to upgrade my car and kind of change the color and just play around, is like, I went back, is like, oh, I've already got another 6 oil fuel cans, okay, cool. And I just went straight back into it. So like I said, it's like you almost forget that you're playing a free-to-play game sometimes, because it just makes it so easy to just keep playing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm already in like the second, second level or second cup or whatever. And yeah, there's like new tracks added. It's like, you know, based on real world countries and stuff. It's got like, you know, Scotland and stuff like that, and real cars. But it is an arcade racer, so you are boosting, and there's like, you know, nitro boosts, and you can like, but it adds skill to it. Like you tap once to boost, and then your boost meter goes down. And if you hit the boost again, when it goes through like a blue line, you get like an extra boost. Or you can just like use all the boost at once. And if you like double tap it quickly, like it'll go into like this super nitro boost. And like, you know, the screen just goes like super, like, you know, Millennium Falcon going into hyperdrive kind of look. And and then they've got actually Tai is quite funny actually. They got like an F0 attack for the car. I think like you press like the trigger button twice or something. The car actually spins around like F0. Oh,
beautiful. Classic.
So it's like it's even in a way, it's even scratching my F0 itch on a Nintendo console.
That's wild.
So I'm like, yes, please. Thank you very much. I'll have all of this. So yeah, I've been playing it like every day, like just like really just for good for the couple of races, upgrade your car, and then move on. You know, it's just a very easy to pick up and play a game. And once again, it's free, so there's literally no excuse for not trying it out. So yeah, if you're in the shopping for a racing game, worth trying out.
Price is right.
Price is right. Oh yes, and related to my, you know, scraping the barrel of the eShop, when I got up to my $2 range, I saw the Gunman Clive HD collection, and that was a bit nuts, Keshi, because I think I got it for like 99 cents on the 3DS, and here it is for like $1.99 for like Gunman Clive 1 and 2 in HD on the. You know, so I thought, yeah, cool. I mean, I've already played the first one, but I haven't played the second one. So boom, bought that for two squids. Thanks very much. So yeah, I just started playing through the second one now. And if you don't know, it's Gunman Clive is a, what was it called in Japanese, Danny? Was it like Cowboy Story or something?
It's something like a weird. Gunman Story, maybe?
Yeah, it could be a Gunman Story. It's basically just like a, you know, Mega Man, you know, jump shoot kind of game, but it's got this really cool kind of pencil sketch look to it. Like the whole thing has been drawn by pencil, and the effect is a lot better when you're playing it on the TV compared to the 3DS, which I don't even think the 3DS had a 3D effect on it. I don't think it was. I think it was played in 2D. I don't think it was. I don't remember any 3D stuff coming out of the screen. So yeah, that's cool. Playing a lot more Valfaris. That is the, you know, the shooter game that I've mentioned like every episode, the last three episodes. This game is getting harder and harder and harder. And I'm just so thankful that the checkpoints and save points are quite they're quite generous. Cause there's some bosses where I've just died, you know, like dozens and dozens of times on it. But it's always, they put the save spot like just before it. It's not an auto save game. It's you have to pick up like a green icon in the stage, and then when you reach one of these kind of base thing, you kind of slot it in, and then it saves your game. And you can upgrade your weapons, and you can change your weapon and upgrade your weapon at these places as well. There have been a couple of times where there's been quite a long stretch of very hard platforming and game and shooting without any save slots. And I've had to do these really long sections like three times or something like that. And it's like really tested my patience. It's like, okay, deep breath, get good. You can do this. And it's like, you get right to the end and you can see the save thing in sight. And it's like something shoots you in the back and you're like, mother. There's been times when I've gone, okay, yep, we're good for tonight. I'll have another go tomorrow night. it gets very hard. This game is very hard. I believe I'm somewhere around the midpoint to it now. But it's always giving you new stuff, and like the scenery is always changing, and the bosses are always really different and really interesting. And it's always giving you a new weapon, kind of like reminds me of like Doom or something like that, you know, where, Doom is, you know, based around, you know, finding a next weapon. You're like, oh, you're so excited when you get this new weapon and you want to use it. It's always like that. So like, and the weapons, often change the gameplay quite a lot. like I recently got like some heat-seeking missiles and stuff, and I upgraded my sword because you have a melee attack as well, and my sword has got a lot bigger range now. And there's all sorts of cool upgrades to your regular weapon and your sub weapon, which is pretty cool. And then just briefly, this is like a video series that I've been doing over the last week and a bit. I talked a bit about Apple Arcade last time, but I basically made like four videos. I've since cancelled my Apple Arcade, my free trial of Apple Arcade, because you only get a month free. So what I did, I basically downloaded like 30 of, you know, what were considered like the best games or games that I thought looked interesting. Mm-hmm. And I broke them down into like 7 games per video. So it's like 4 videos, like 7, 7, 7, 7. And played a game for like just like 5 minutes or 10 minutes or something if I really like the game. And there's a whole bunch of games here. I'm not going to mention all of them, obviously. But in the first, if you look at the first 2 videos are live for everybody. But part 3 and part 4 is only Patreon exclusive for now until Famicast Friday. But if you go and watch the part 1, check out this game called Projection First Light. It's like it's a platformer game, but like you're playing like one of those kind of paper silhouettes, and it's even got like the stick attached to the character, so it's kind of like, you know, it feels like someone's actually like moving the character with their hand while you're doing it. It's really clever. It's just like, well, it's not black and white. It's like all the objects in the world are black, but the background has some color. But it's visually really interesting, and it reminds me of another game, maybe on the Wii U or something, or Wii, where it's like you played as the Shadow. Does anyone remember that game? I can't remember what that game was called now. It's like it was probably had the word name Shadow in the title.
Shadow Man from the N64.
Not quite. But it's, you know, it's a 2D platform, you know, which kind of like mixes up a bit with, you know, the visual style, which I always appreciate. And there's a music game which Ty might like in the first video called Mind Symphony. And it kind of like combines like a shoot 'em up with a music game. So it's like, you know, it's like, you know, bullets, it's like a bullet hell shooter, but you're moving the ship around and you kind of like, and there's music in time with the music in the background. It's kind of clever actually. It's probably combines a whole bunch of stuff from other games, but it just does it kind of interestingly. I would like to see that on Switch, and I would like to see the Projection First Light on the Switch as well. In the second video, part 2, Oceanhorn 2, which I know Oceanhorn 1 is on the Switch, definitely.
Right.
What version of Zelda would it be? It would be Zelda like Spirit Tracks, right?
Okay.
Like that kind of like 3D isometric, but you know, not super detailed 3D. It's not Breath of the Wild. It's like, you know, more simple. But with this one, ironically, they have gone a little bit Breath of the Wild. Like the little character now wears like a blue tunic. It's like pretty much, you know, Breath of the Wild Link.
Yeah, but I picked up on that when I first saw the trailer. I was like, okay. Yeah.
Here we go.
It's but like it's obviously they've really upgraded it. Like everything is a lot more advanced than it was in Oceanhorn 1. It looks like a lot more involved, and like everything is a lot more detailed, and looks more like a actual 3D, like a Twilight Princess Zelda game now. And that would be way better on a Switch than on a fucking phone, right?
Yeah.
And the other one, which I think I told Ty about, I said Ty should check out, was called Punch Planet, which is this like really simple fighting game.
It sounds like the kind of game I would like.
Yeah, absolutely. This has to come on console. It makes no sense that it's on a phone. Absolutely no sense. Because I believe all the Apple Arcade games are exclusive, like they're smartphone exclusive, but they can come to console. So like it could come to Switch and Xbox, but it's not allowed to go onto Android. I believe that's what the contract says for Apple Arcade. But this would make so much more sense on a console. It's like the, you know, like a traditional 2D brawler, kind of like you know, like you've played before. But like the characters are kind of interesting. Like there's one called, you play as a wolf, but it's called Dog. Like just Dog.
It's like, hey, it's that like, dog.
Yeah.
I'm bringing that meme back, guys.
Yeah.
Right? Danny knows what I'm talking about.
I totally get it, man.
Yeah. So yeah, Ocean Hantu and Punch Planet are probably the two best games in the part two. Yeah. And the one, well, you can't, well, yeah, if you're listening to this podcast after Fabricast Friday, which is the 25th, which is my birthday, by the way.
Oh, happy October birthday. 25th,
yeah. Thank you very much. So if you're listening to this on Friday or afterwards, if you check out part three, there's a game called Inmost, which is like this really atmospheric, like spooky, like adventure platform game, where it's like pixel art. You're playing as like tiny little, you know, I don't know, like, I don't know, Meat Boy sized guy. He's like really, really tiny, but like all the sprite work is super detailed and super atmospheric. And it actually has like a warning, like a Biohazard game at the beginning. It's like, this game has some intense, like themes. And you're like, oh shit. And then you start the game and it's like this fucking little tiny pixel guy. You're like, seriously? but yeah, it does talk about, you know, quite adult themes, even though it is like a little, like a pixel art game, which is kind of funny. Yeah, so that would be way more interesting on the console. As would this game called Hot Lava, which I swear there was a game already like this. Like it's one of those don't touch the floor games you used to play as a kid. You know, like you would put like, you know, try and get from one side of the room to the other, but without touching the floor. Like you'd jump on the. This isn't just me, right?
Like right,
you're not talking like in a video game. You're talking like in real life.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like you got to jump on the pillow.
Yeah, every little kid does that. They peel the cushions off the couch or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hop across the room.
So this game plays on that. So like it actually starts off like that. You're actually playing as a guy doing that, like with cushions and everything and jumping on the sofa. But then it kind of goes into this like realistic thing. So it's got it's kind of presented like a Saturday morning cartoon, and it's got this amazing 10-minute like length animation at the beginning, which is hilarious. It's like watching an 80s like animation. And I just watch it on YouTube. It's just fucking hilarious. This Hot Lava is the game. So look for like Hot Lava intro video or something like that. And then it turns into like you're playing this guy who is actually in these like a real world situation, but like the floor is lava. Like, and it suddenly becomes real. So you actually will die now if you touch the floor. It's kind of crazy. But
that sounds cute.
But like the phone makes you like fucking like move the phone to like look around the world, and it's fucking bullshit. Just like fucking give me dual analog already. Right. So like, yeah, they have to bring this to consoles. It makes no sense being on a phone. And then part four, which is you know, coming soon, is what would be the best one? Choo Choo Rocket wasn't actually as good as I thought. It's like it's called Choo Choo Rocket Universe. Huh. It's all right. I don't think it's exactly like Choo Choo Rocket. It's kind of like a different take on it.
Sounds disappointing.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the game I bought with my Dreamcast. Alongside Marvel vs. Capcom 1.
I actually make lots of jokes about that in the video while I'm playing that.
Right. By the way, for all our viewers, if you've never seen the Japanese Choo Choo Rocket commercial, do it now.
Do it. So yeah, in part four video, I would say Danny, you would like Ballistic Baseball. Check that out.
Ooh, you're speaking my language. Baseball.
Yeah, I actually played a baseball game. All for you, Danny. It looks all right actually, and it would look good on the Switch, I think. But probably the best one was called Down in Bermuda, which is like this you know, puzzle game, but it's like isometric 3D puzzle game, but you're like playing as this like old guy, and you can like move the camera around and like find things in the world and stuff. It's like super cute, like really nice visual design. The visual design was super interesting, but like all the objects in the world are like look like radios and stuff. Shit, it reminds me of that game, Danny, me and you played it. Is it between
The Gardens Between?
The Gardens Between, thank you. It's very much like that, like where all the things in the world are like real objects, like a TV or a Famicom or something like that. It's like that. So like, it's like a little cute little island, like almost like, you know, like a Wind Waker style. It's like everything's green and lush and everything. But the mountains or the things in the world are actually based on like a cassette radio. So it's like a little temple, for example, but the temple has got like a little cassette deck at the front and stuff. So like the you know, the visual design is just like super, super cool. And basically you're just like, you know, finding secrets and finding stuff in this world. But just like the world is interesting just to explore because it just looks so visually interesting. Yeah, that's called Down in Bermuda. So yeah. So basically, with the four videos that I made, there's definitely a couple of games in each one where you're like, shit, yeah, this would make sense on the console. I want this on the console. So yeah, please check out the videos and tell me which ones you would choose. Do you agree with my choices, or do you think I'm full of shit and you would think another game is better? Let me know.
Can I answer that without watching the game?
Yes, you can. I'm full of shit. All right, then. So, Danny, back to you.
Okay. Someone else. Well, I'll go ahead and go next with new business. And I think I kind of mentioned this a little bit on the last show, but I've been actually pretty busy recently, so I haven't had a whole lot of time to play some games. One game I did get to play, which is not more of a game, it's more like torture. James, I told you a little bit about this. Actually, this has nothing to do with video games. But so a couple of weeks ago, I went to the dentist because something was stuck in my tooth. And
why are you telling this story on the podcast?
No, it's fine. Okay. So went to the dentist, and you know, he was like, "Hey, you know, we might have to do some work on your teeth." And I was like, "Okay, like, what's going on, man?" And he's like, "Okay, well, it looks like you got a cavity, like, right in the back on this tooth. It's full of cavities." So I was like, "All right, well, great." And you know, we're talking in Japanese because I don't live in Tokyo or anything, so there's no way there's going to be any English-speaking dentist, but that's fine. But I mean, you know, I got to say, my dental vocabulary isn't up to snuff with maybe some other things. Usually not talking about dental things with anybody. I mean, Ty probably does, but...
Oh, yeah, I love talking about teeth.
Yes. But when I first went, he said... I didn't know the word that he said at first, but I knew the second word he said is like take out. And I just, in my head, I just went to, oh my God, he's going to fucking pull out my tooth. Yeah. So I went home and I was just kind of like, oh man, I felt so like scared and just like, oh shit, what the hell am I going to do? But it was even better because when I went back, he's like, no, we're not going to take out your tooth. We're actually going to give you a root canal. I was like, oh,
great. Even better.
Yeah. So, yeah. Combined with work and that's been the main game I've been playing. But per Cyrus's request, I did actually, not request, I guess recommendation rather, but on the last episode, he was talking a lot about Call of Duty Mobile. So I went ahead and actually checked it out. And I know, James, you checked it out a little bit, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to check if you were full of shit when you said, I'm the best in the world. And then I played it and got first as well.
Right.
It's all bots, isn't it?
Yes. No, I mean, yeah, like you said, when you first play, like you are playing against bots and you are going to feel like a god because right. It's just like so easy. There's like a 50, you're supposed to get like up to like 50 kills for your whole team. You get like 40 and then you're like, whoa, okay, that's something. But
I actually tested the limits of that because I thought, wait, this feels too easy. So I just stood still and see what they would do. And they were shooting at me, but I wasn't being hit.
I mean, so obviously, after that, like, initial match or whatever, that initial first couple of matches, you actually start playing with other human beings and things get a little bit, you know, a little bit more evened out. You're not going to be rocking stuff like that. But I was kind of surprised because actually the game has quite a few modes, like a battle royale mode and, you know, all sorts of other things too. But I just been primarily sticking with something that's called Frontline. It's just team 5-on-5 shooting things.
Yeah, I had a pal that was playing that. I think he mentioned that it had like a lot of the popular maps from throughout the series. Assets, maybe.
Yeah, kind of looks like that's what it would be. It's been so long since I've actually played any like online Call of Duty. Nothing was really coming to mind because I played a lot of Modern Warfare 2 and a lot of more Modern Warfare 3, but I'm not exactly sure where they're pulling this stuff from. It seems most of the maps seem a little bit small, which is fine because you want it to be small to filter you into the center and fight each other and stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned this too, but I mean, I think the controls on it are actually really good for something that's only on your phone. I've actually been having a lot of time with it. It's just been kind of like, you know, just being so busy, you just kind of just want to turn off your brain. So then I just bust out this game and just play this. I mean, I want to get into Dragon Quest more. I really, today, I almost went and like picked up Witcher 3 on the Switch. And Jesus. I was like, oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah. Two 100-hour RPGs. Yeah, I can play those at the same time.
It's going to be fine. I'm not gonna
get one in either hand.
Yeah. I mean, I really am thinking about picking up The Witcher 3, but that sure as hell didn't happen today. But
yeah,
I've just been plugging away on Call of Duty on mobile. That's pretty much it for me.
If I get divorced and leave the country, I could play Witcher 3 and Dragon Quest 11. No problem.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Worth it. Yeah. Two great games. Lifetime of anyways. Ty, what do you have for us, man?
Oh man, I've been playing Indivisible.
Ooh.
Which will come out on the Switch sometime. It's yeah, fun though. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly as I've been describing it in previews. Mm-hmm. Well, if you call, you know, my ramblings previews, but in any case, you know, it's like a Metroid game mashed up with an action RPG.
Mm.
So, if you like those, you'll like the game.
It's more of an action game than like a story-based game, right?
Well, there's a lot of story. There's a lot of words. And
words.
Yeah, you recruit a lot of characters into your squad, and you can have four at once. And you can try to build like a certain strategy or a composition with various characters. You know, you try to find some kind of what's the word I'm looking for?
Bananas.
Yes.
I don't know.
You want a team of characters that works together well.
Okay.
And
Synergy,
that's the word. You try to look for some synergy, and you set up some combos. You can do some tricky stuff to interrupt enemies, or, you know, characters might have heal, but they can do it in, like, a weird way. In any case, there's a lot of characters. You try to get them together, you find a combination that you like, and, I don't know how to describe the combat. It's kind of like a not quite turn-based JRPG. It's like time continually moves forward.
Okay.
Yeah, active
time battle.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that might
if you don't
describe
if
it.
You don't touch the controller at all, what would happen?
Would they
just be attacking you constantly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, active time battle is what. Well, at least that's what Square called it back in the day.
Yeah. So the battles are actually like pretty fast paced, and there's a lot of timing kind of things. Like some attacks they'll have a chance to hit an extra button, get more damage, or definitely defense. Defense is big in this game. Like you hit the button that corresponds to your character when an enemy attacks, and they'll guard, and you have to have pretty good timing. And if you do it perfectly,
combo breaker.
Yes. No. You do like a parry. It like makes the damage almost zero, and then like you know stuff starts getting tricky when multiple enemies attack at the same time or they attack multiple characters. So there's like a lot of room for finesse, and I really like that.
Nice.
But when you're not in combat, the game is Metroid.
Oh, okay. Wall jump, right?
Yeah, so it's wall jumps. You get the wall jumps right off the bat. Like you start with wall jumps, and you know you'll get like the super run, and it's like straight out of Super Metroid. Because you know the designer's like infamously a big Super Metroid guy. Yeah, I've seen him do like demonstration videos of like all the weird bugs in the game and stuff for Super Metroid. I mean,
oh, I was gonna say
okay,
showing bugs of his own game. He's like, listen to the game I made. It's completely junk.
Yeah, he would do that though. He would own it.
Okay.
Yeah, so like the main programmer / designer is Mike Zymont, and maybe.
Friend he's never of, heard friend of us. Friend of the show.
Same thing.
Well, in any case, he was also the Skullgirls guy, and he could like patch stuff in real time. Basically, like he always kept he called it like a permanent beta or an ongoing beta, where like he would just try stuff out, and like the inner circle of players, or actually I think maybe anybody that actually owns Skullgirls could try the beta and just the bug tests he would try to do, or he would even demonstrate like, here's why X would be an awful idea. Even though it sounds cool, it ruins the game. Here, check it out. I implemented it.
Talking of Skullgirls, is it out on Switch or?
Yeah, it just came out.
Just came out like this week, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like 2 days ago, I think. Maybe. I heard it has some audio issues.
Ooh.
Like a pal of mine posted some videos and it just like ruins your ears.
Oh, so, okay.
I don't know if it was like
broken.
Like, yeah.
Ear damaging. Okay, so that's like they're definitely going to be patching that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I should hope so.
Right.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird thing to have happen because like the game is like really cleanly programmed, like on the original platforms it's on.
I wonder if Cyrus just got it for free because he's like a member of the school buzz alumni or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah. I found his NPC in the game, and I also found my name in the contributor credits way down near the bottom this time, I'm afraid.
Are you back to Indivisible now?
Yeah, on Indivisible.
Okay.
I was much closer to the top on Skullgirls.
Nice.
Right.
Cool.
Oh yeah.
Two Famicast sponsored games that you should definitely buy.
Yes, Famicast sponsored games. Skullgirls.
Brought to you by the Famicast.
And Indivisible. Oh man. Yeah, there's something else I wanted to touch on Indivisible. Okay, so the game has like a lot of random like one-liner NPCs. And as far as I can tell, they're all like sponsored original characters from the crowdfund. And they say some weird shit.
Okay. What does Cyrus say?
I forgot what he said, but it was relatively normal.
Okay.
But mean, yeah, like
yeah, you don't get to choose what you say when you
I think you do. American. Right?
If it was me, I would have chosen like the weirdest, most random thing ever.
Like I got the feeling I don't remember what the contributor levels were. Maybe it depended on that. But man, there are some weirdo NPCs that will just say some weirdo stuff, and
like it's random dialogue thing, you know, like random dialogue generator or something.
Not like that. Just like, why would you pay $1,000 to tell the world how much you like Monster Girls?
Okay,
it's like okay, that's cool. I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird, but you know, it's also has me obsessively talking to all of the NPCs in the game, and there are a lot.
Do they actually do something useful? They don't just say random line and then that's it?
I haven't seen a useful one yet.
So this literally just window dressing.
Yeah.
Wow. Paid window dressing. Brilliant.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
All right.
Yeah, so that's what I've been playing other than some other stuff. Right. What?
You're not in it. You're not visually in it.
No.
Okay.
I'm like, man, the contributor credits are so long. I'm just like down at like the second, the bottom tier that has the game.
Okay.
Right.
And also thanks to these guys, I guess.
Yo, it was, yeah, exactly. A bunch of names. Oh, man, there's some funny names in the contributor credits, too. Give it a skim sometime.
I've got it right here. Cyrus Delaney, is it? I don't know.
Who?
That's a weird one.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some people, some other people I know too. I'm like, oh my God.
Cool. Well, yeah.
Get the game.
Yeah. On Switch.
On Switch. In like a month or whenever it comes out.
Next year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I have an extra Switch code coming my way for when it comes out.
Oh.
And I think I'll probably give it away on the show somehow.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Right.
Just like randomly drop a letter in the middle of a sentence. So recently, I
that would be a fun way to do playing. It. Right? I'll figure out some really trolly way to do it.
That'd be great. You have to listen to every single second of the show.
Or maybe I'll just like hold up like a page with a single letter on it at various intervals. Yeah.
Have like a whiteboard and write a letter, a different letter every few minutes.
No, that way people would skip to the end.
No, right? like one letter every minute or so.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'm in there. I'll think it over. I'll sleep on it.
Okay,
cool.
We just needed a way so someone's watching the video version and listening to the audio version. They have to do it separately.
Simultaneously.
Or at the same time, too, whatever.
Wow, that sounds like torture. Let's do it.
Play the audio version backwards at the same time as watching the video version forwards. The upside audio down. Combines and gives
just
you the code.
Hide it cleverly in the video somewhere. Yeah. Right. Okay. You're giving me some ideas. Good. So, anyway, besides Indivisible, not much else. I will get to it, but I recorded some random various games on the Switch, posted them up. We'll get to that. And I've been playing lots of Dead by Daylight.
Okay.
I got all the Merciless achievements.
Nice.
That means I'm good at the video game.
Nice.
Good job.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for new business. So let's go ahead and move into a little bit of not playing at thefamicast.com.
Let's go.
Now playing at thefamicast.com, this is where we're going to tell you about like basically everything that we've been doing on our website, thefamicast.com, get that. Also on our YouTube channel, which maybe you're watching us live right now. Thank you very much. Yeah, so guys, we got a lot of different stuff that went up, didn't we?
Well, did we leave it quite a long time between 159 and 160? Maybe it did.
Yeah. We definitely did a lot of fun stuff.
There's been a lot of stuff. But it's the same amount of time as, like, usually between episodes.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, well, the big one that our patrons have been enjoying, we hinted at it last episode, Game Night number 2 has happened and was enjoyed last week. We set up a fantabulous night of games and debauchery and invited all our patrons to come and join us and play games with us. That's exactly what we did. I guess we ended up playing a lot of Super Nintendo games in the end, didn't we? Like, more than we thought. I guess we were just having a good time doing it, and everyone seemed to want to do that. So, yeah, we did. We played some Super Mario Kart, we played Stunt Race FX. Ty was playing some Puyo Puyo.
Yeah, dude.
With the patrons. Yeah, it was all good times.
Yeah, heck, I even got to play a little bit of virtual racing too, which is
fun. Yeah. Virtual racing, that was like a surprise on the night decision. That was good times.
Yeah.
Replacing a game which didn't work.
That's Nintendo.
But we captured the whole night, all the gameplay, all the chat, all the banter, and we combined it into one big video. So the guys who couldn't make it, you know, whatever, time zone differences or whatever, could go back and watch the whole night. So yeah, it's right up there on the Patreon website. As I mentioned in my new business, my Apple Arcade games coming to Switch ? Series is now complete. Episodes 1 to 4 is live for the patrons. And yeah, after Friday, you can all watch those. I just dropped this in now because I completely forgot. I probably should have mentioned this in your business, but I played the Resident Evil 5 and Resident Evil 6 demos on Switch,
right.
And I captured my time with those, because that's actually my first time playing both of those games.
Huh.
And yeah, they both seem good. They both seem like good ports. Probably games better to play with other people.
Yes.
Which is what a lot of comments thrown at me on Twitter or YouTube or whatever been mentioning that.
Yeah, you said you asked me and I said I'd only played it five on co-op.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I had an adequate level of fun is what I think I said.
Adequate, yeah.
That's good. So,
I don't know, maybe if somebody wants to have an adequate amount of fun with me and they get it, you know, I might get it. I don't know. But anyway. Danny, me and you did something cool, right? Online?
Yeah, we did. Together. So one night, a couple weeks ago, James and I, we were just like, hey, let's try out this new Fangled Super Mario Maker 2 online. I mean, we're both here in Japan, so we figured, what the hell? How bad can this be? And actually, it was really good.
Yeah, is like, that the mode where you just get together and it throws like random user-created levels at you?
Yeah.
You can actually do both. You can actually do random co-op, or you can do random versus, like, you know, first to the flag. And you can even play levels that you've made yourself.
Yep. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've seen some real holy levels for those online.
Yeah. Some good stuff. Yeah, but like Danny said, it was surprisingly solid. But with a big asterisk in the fact that me and Danny were both on wired connections in Japan, the world's fastest internet, TM.
Actually, that night I was on a wireless connection.
And it was still flawless, so
it was fine. Yeah, but if you're trying to go across the pond or anything like that, or if you live in a bigger country, good luck, really.
Right.
While we're talking about Mario Maker, Mario Maker Minute Episode 13, everyone's favorite series on the YouTube channel, went live. And this level was actually submitted by one of our patrons, Joel. So, hope Joel enjoyed that one. I enjoyed it. It was a good stage. And while we're still talking about Mario, the music quiz that we played in the last episode, 159, which, amazingly, I think Danny won. To the surprise of everyone, including himself.
No way.
Oh, I think, yeah, Lady Linda's won, but Danny won out of the family crew. So I made that into a YouTube video, just the quiz. So if you missed that, or if you want to try it again, or challenge someone else, or send the link to someone else who might like Mario music, you can do that. It's on our YouTube channel. And then, over to Ty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the notes is Ty's Trilogy. I like it. So I played the first 10 minutes, actually for a couple of them, I replayed the first 10 minutes of, let's see here, Sub-Level Zero Redux, I Am the Hero, and Creature in the Well. So, like, if you want to see some competent gameplay of the first 10 minutes of these games, check it out.
I've heard you talk about Sub-Level Zero in the last episode and Creature in the Well, but I've never heard you talk about I Am the Hero. What the hell's that?
Okay, yeah, that's a 2D beat-em-up game with really cool music and a lot of options for combo. It has some very juggly stuff in it you can do, so it feels almost like
Marvel versus Capcom?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like a Wilder Double Dragon, even. Or even like a 2D crazy action game like Devil May Cry or something.
All right, okay.
So like
a 2D scrolling beat 'em up.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, check it out. It has really good music. I was having a lot of fun with it too.
Nice.
It's a game that'll get you hyped up for sure.
All of this and more on the Famicast.com.
.com.
That was my Halloween version of it.
There it is. Too spooky.
Too spooky. I'm scared. I'm shivering over here in fear.
Right?
James, next, I think we should do something a little bit different here. Actually, no, let's not. James, you know what time it is.
Yappanoos.
That's right, everybody. It's your favorite time of the show. It's the Japanese, where we talk about all the latest comings and goings of news sometimes happening in Japan, sometimes happening right in your backyard. Maybe.
You know, I'm trying more and more to like make you guys actually not understand what I'm saying, but you still manage to catch it.
Every single.
Probably because I say the same thing each time, but just in a different voice. Probably the thing that gives it away.
Could be. Well, the first little bit of news here, this is something that we kind of touched on in a previous episode, but there is a Nintendo Tokyo store that's finally going to be opening up here in Japan. Which, I mean, it kind of still blows my mind that, okay, yeah, there's Pokemon centers like a lot of in a lot of locations here in Japan. They have the Nintendo World Store in New York, and maybe there's a Nintendo World Store somewhere else. But it's like, why? Why haven't they done this? Like, you know,
well,
at all. But
there were two kind of firsts in the world this week. There was the first ever Pokemon Center in London, and then this month we've got the first ever Nintendo store in Japan. It's like two things that you just thought had already happened.
Yeah,
it's like, wait, didn't have a Pokemon Center in England? Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the Nintendo not having a store in Japan is probably the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
That's like Apple not having an Apple store in California or something. It's like, what?
Yeah, but just for a little bit more background on this, I think we've talked about where this is. It's going to be in Shibuya, downtown Tokyo, and it's going to be opening up on November 22nd, which is a Friday. But 2 days leading up to it, there's going to be a pre-open event on November 20th and 21st. For each of these days, 250 lucky people, hand-selected from a lottery, everyone's favorite system, will be able to go on those first 2 days. And after that, it's just open to the general public. But I mean,
flashbacks of my Switch buying days.
Yeah. But anyways, I mean, it's going to have like special merchandise there. You can play like game demos, and they said they're going to have events there. They didn't really highlight what kind of events that there would be, but there it is. So
A friend of the show, Liam Robertson, tweeted out some pictures of some goods that are going to be available. And they've got these, like, you know, tote bags with, like, Mario and Link and Animal Crossing and Splatoon characters kind of running across them. Yeah. And he kind of pointed out that it is kind of crazy that now the Splatoon characters, the Inklings, are now considered top-tier characters alongside Mario and Link in Japan. And in Japan, at least, anyway. And it's just like Splatoon 1 only came out in 2015. It's like in 4 years, Splatoon went from nothing to a top tier Mario level character in Japan. It's kind of crazy.
You know,
you can make new IPs sometimes. It works.
Right.
Yeah. It's really interesting about that banner because they have two links on there. The one that you see in like the main picture, which like Mario, one of the Squidlings or whatever. Whatever the
Squidlings, brilliant.
England, whatever, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But there's the green link there, and then a little bit further down the line, and like a longer kind of like a longer towel or something that you can buy. Then you see the Breath of the Wild link, and then you eventually see Breath of the Wild Zelda and stuff. So yeah,
that's like a whole bunch of characters in that one.
Yeah. Because it's just like I think, like you said, like those bags. It's just like the front of it, like the main, probably the most popular things, and
But there you go. You'll be able to buy your Animal Crossing purse, Ty, finally.
Oh, and, at last.
That's right. Not restricted to Pokemon-related goods now. You can actually buy all the Nintendos. I wonder if they are going to have, you know, things like, you know, other series are going to represent it, like, you know, Metroid and F-Zero. Are they going to have, like, all parts of their hit gaming history available there? Or is it just going to be, you know, Mario and Splatoon towels and that's it?
Yes. Yeah. I have no idea how big this store location is either. So,
I'm definitely going to go. Probably not in the first like week because I don't want to be crushed to death.
No, but, I'd say stay away for like the first 6 months.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm definitely going this year. Maybe before Christmas. Hopefully, it's not too far away from where I work. So,
Well, James, this next bit of news, this is something that actually I saw you tweeting about, so I thought it would only be appropriate for you to talk about it a little bit.
This was disgusting to read this. It was probably friend of the show, Japanese Nintendo, Brian, right? He probably tweeted this out. He's always on top form with the Japanese. Yeah.
Yep.
So the Famitsu published the scores for Luigi's Mansion. Oh, sorry, Luigi Mansion, right?
Japanese Thank version. You. I didn't know what you were talking about there.
Luigi Mansion 3. And that got a 33 out of 40. You know, that's like a 9, 8, 8, 8, 8, because they do out of, you know, four people do a, you know, out of 10 scale, right?
Yeah.
And then Mario and Sonic at the shitty Olympic Games got 34 out of 40. Mm. 1 point All right. higher than Luigi's Mansion.
So I have 2 points to make here. One, this is the group that gave Nintendogs straight 10s. And, right, and yeah. two, these are all paid.
Yeah, yeah,
pretty
yeah, yeah.
much.
We've discussed this many times on the show. I think we even did a whole special feature on this one time, didn't we?
Yeah,
seem to remember some kind of section about this.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, I'd go out on a limb and say maybe they're not paid, but at the same time, you don't.
They're not all paid, but most of them are.
I'd say for like the past 20 years, if you trust a review coming out of Famitsu, you're doing it wrong.
But it's I guess are they both published by Nintendo? Is the Sonic game Olympic game published by Sega or Nintendo or both?
Usually, I thought those were usually published by Sega. I don't know. I don't remember.
But. So that would suggest to me that Sega probably paid more money for it than Nintendo, because I don't think Nintendo ever pay for anything.
Sega doesn't have money.
Right. The little they have, they would probably do it, you know, grease the hand of these fools working at Famitsu. But anyway, it was just kind of surprising.
Sega and stuff.
Got to be real here. Game journalists, they're cheap. They're the lowest bidder, right?
Right. At least in the West, it's kind of more hidden. But in Famitsu, it's literally like full page spread of a game, like a 2-page advertisement. Which would cost, you know, hundreds of thousands of yen to publish, and then that exact game getting a very high score on the next page. I mean, it's just so blatant. It's kind of, it's like, but yeah, that it is. I mean, Adam Conforti in the chat says, you know, isn't that low for Famitsu? And yeah, it is. It is. I guess it is. But I don't think they ever publish anything less than 30 out of 40, do they? You don't normally see like an 8 out of 40 in Famitsu. They don't even publish those games. They don't even review them.
I mean, I think the lowest I've seen is maybe sub 25 or something like that. But I mean,
yeah,
you're not going
to
see anything.
Their scale is 25 to 40, really, isn't it?
They're not going to just shit all over something. I think they right. may be too afraid of just pissing off the developers and publishers. So,
well, fun fact, you know, Japan doesn't have game journalism. I mean, it just doesn't exist, you know, like
it's not like in the West,
you know, like in the West, you know, it might all be terrible, but, you know, at least people are actually trying to find stories and trying to find out, you know, facts about games and, you know, stories behind the games. And actually, when shitty things happen, people actually do discuss it and talk about it, you know, like, you know, EA doing shitty things or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Or
that
Blizzard.
Would never happen in Japan.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine, like, that's a good point.
Can you imagine a Japanese magazine saying, like, you know, commenting on the fucking Hong Kong controversy or something like that? Like, or, oh, Blizzard did this, you know, ooh, you shouldn't buy Blizzard games anymore. That would never happen in Japan. It's just like, you know, Japan is just, you know, happy tree world. It's just like everyone's best friends, you know, singing rainbows. They don't want to ruffle anyone's feather.
You're entirely right.
Yeah.
And I've never really thought about it like that before. That's amazing.
Right, you've known it all along, but you just, you know,
exactly.
Never heard anyone else say it.
Yeah, we did talk about this one time, but I don't know what the specific topic was, but yeah, just like in anything, even in like regular news, non-gaming news, you very rarely see anybody getting their toes stepped on, at least like in a major sort of way, unless they really fuck up,
right?
You know, like here it's a big thing with
you gotta protect the wah.
Yeah, well, if a celebrity, like, you know, smokes a doobie or something, they're busted, and they're going to be, basically, their career is over. But, you
right,
know.
Because they disrupted the law.
Yes.
I mean, if there are any, I can't think of any American equivalent at the moment. If you give me a few minutes, I might be able to think of something. But British people listening, like, TV shows like Have I Got News For You? You know, like satirical, like quiz shows, you know, which like criticize the government, criticize, you know, bad things happening in the world, et cetera, making fun of the prime minister, et cetera, the queen. that it just doesn't exist in Japan. There is literally not a program on TV that has that, you know, like there's no one out there saying anything critical against the government, not because they're not allowed to. This isn't China. You know, they could right. do if they wanted to, but
it's just they're like, just too gosh darn nice.
Yeah, it's just not the done thing, I guess, is the way of putting it. I don't know. Yeah, you know, like, you know, like all the late night chat show guys in America, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, Jimmy, all the Jimmys, all the Conans, all those kind of people, you know.
Things that I can't watch.
The Japanese, the Japanese versions, it would just be a guy coming on bowing and then, you know, a celebrity coming on and then just gushing about the celebrity and that was it.
Yeah. I mean,
and then for the punchlines, the guy goes, "Wah!" and like falls over.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, I will say, James, I know that you yeah. are not a fan of Japanese TV, and Ty, you probably hate it too. But
right.
there are some.
American TV is like a fucking wasteland. Man, Japanese TV, it's the shallowest shit like ever imagined.
Right.
I don't know. I watch quite a bit of Japanese TV because my wife watches it a lot. And, Yeah. Right. Sometimes you will see some shows where they're like kind of talking bad about like this or this or something like that. I don't have any good specific examples, but
because they don't exist. Yes.
Okay, like my impression of Japanese TV, it's like just people like driving around the country and like eating the food and saying, "Wow, sugoi."
That's a thing.
Right? That's like half the programming, dude.
Yeah. I know. I'm not saying that like it's and yeah, I think right here too. We got a comment from Adam, and I think it is kind of a respect thing, for people not to just try to step on people's toes here, because it is still like Ty said, and we've heard here all the time. You don't want to upset the why. You don't want to upset the harmony of everybody.
If I ever got on Japanese TV and they fed me some food and I ate it, I'd go, "Oh, this is fucking disgusting," and that would be the first person on TV to ever say that in the history of the country.
Right, like okay, so like Americans, we love to argue, like we have clubs for it in school. We have fucking debate clubs. We argue for fun, right? We'll just get on the internet and like fucking shit on people for laughs. Japan doesn't have that. At least
it's
not
weird
so
though. The only thing when Japanese people like really super honest about stuff is online like user reviews of stuff. And they're like brutally honest with that. Like if you go on like Google Maps or something, click on just a random restaurant, all the reviews are like, you know, the waiter was not polite enough, or like, you know, the window wasn't clean or something like that.
Do they do that with their real names though?
No, of course not. No way. No, absolutely not.
Americans will do that like straight up.
Yeah, Facebook.
Like, I'll get on Facebook and like, you know, tell my uncle to go fuck himself.
Your uncle,
right?
He works at Nintendo. What are you doing?
I know, right? Sorry, I'm friends with Microsoft now.
Okay.
Japan, no, it doesn't happen.
Like, I mean, I've talked about this before, how like Japanese Twitter accounts, like, you know, the username is, you know, at pyeongpyeongpyeong 166667, and then the name will be like Takachan Pompon, and then the avatar will be an anime character, but the real name is like Kenji Yamamoto. There's like there's no connection between any of these things. They're completely anonymous when it comes to online stuff, you know, because they don't want to be
for Christ's sake, man. I mean, the internet is viewed as still as kind of like an evil type of a thing where you can get in a lot of trouble and meet some horrible people. And yes, that is very true. You can meet some terrible people.
Oh man. Okay, my buddy.
One of them on this chat right now.
Yeah.
My buddy James. I think you know him. The guy that was in your class. Mm-hmm. The first time he got a hate mail in an online fighting game, he shit himself. He was like panicking, like, "Oh my god, what do I do?"
They found me.
Right. This guy says he's gonna kick my ass, and I'm like, "Calm down, dude."
At Street Fighter.
Just tell him, get good scrub, and you send it to Scrub Quotes.
Right.
Come on, I do this like three times a day.
Right. But for me, it was a Wednesday.
Yeah, right? Like, holy shit. Like, how would he survive, like, in North American net play? Come on.
I think we've turned Japanese into a little bit of life in Japan here. There you go.
Yeah, a little bit.
Should we move on?
Accidental life in Japan. Yeah, where the hell were we? We're in the middle of news, weren't we?
Yeah. Well,
so, Luigi's Mansion.
Yes, Luigi's Mansion.
That was a really fun detour, though, into Crazy Definitely. Town.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Free life in Japan episode right in the middle of a regular episode. You're welcome. Next up, who likes Tetris?
I'll take it, because you know I love me some Tetris 99. So the next Tetris 99 event is actually, we just talked about Luigi's Mansion 3. Guess what? This event is going to be all about Luigi's Mansion 3. Oh, so this is going to be starting on October 25th and going to October 29th. Am I the only one that actually still plays this game to get all these stupid
games? Man. It's Will James actually partake in the event this time, or will he forget again?
Like, man, like, it's you almost have no excuse. I swear to God, they keep extending these. Like, I think the first one was only like the first one was like 3 days, and then the second one was like three, and then it was like four. This is like from Friday until next Tuesday. So
Like, why would they end their spooky ghost event like a couple days before Halloween?
Well, right. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they don't want people playing on Halloween.
They usually have these on a weekend whenever they do these events, because they want to get people playing the game and stuff, I guess. But like I said, they have extended like the end date like a lot later than what they usually do. Usually it's like till Monday, but now it's like until Tuesday. So I don't know. It seems kind of silly, but you'll have that if you play and you get like 100 points, which maybe you can get that, and depending on like where you place and stuff, you know, then you can have that theme and you can play it anytime you want, including on Halloween or Christmas if you really want to get wild with it.
You get to keep it, right, if you get enough points. But they don't want people playing on Halloween, because that's when Luigi's Mansion comes out. The actual game itself comes out.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, okay, stop playing Tetris, now buy Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, cross-promotion.
Ty, do you think this will make you try Tetris 99 finally?
Yeah, I might. It's like, deep. You know, one of those things I was excited to do, and then like now that I can, I'm like,
It's fun as heck, man. I mean, if you like Tetris, you'd like this. It's pretty cool.
All right.
Yeah. If you play it once, proper D-pad. It's hard to stop, isn't it? Once you logged in, it's like, you know, you're not.
It's like, yeah, you just yet. It's one of those games where it's easy to go again, go again, go again.
Yep.
Exactly. I know the feeling.
That's right. Take out 99 Scrubs.
Yeah.
You can do it, man.
Speaking of Halloween events, James Allen brought to my attention, our attention, that Halloween Tour is now live on Mario Kart Tour as well. This is going to be probably James's game of the year. I think you've seen a video about that.
Which James are you talking about, James Allen or me?
No comment.
I've already deleted it from my phone.
Yeah, okay. Well, Adam Conforti, he plays some Apex Legends 2, I think. We're just like talking about it and not playing it, but they have a cool Halloween event going on too.
Oh yeah, you like playing as like zombies or something like that, or there's like candles everywhere and stuff. I saw a video of that. Looks pretty cool. That's a cool. It looks like they put a lot of effort into it anyway.
Yeah. Ty, I guarantee that this next bit of news is a Ty thing, because I'm pretty sure you put it here.
Well,
oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, James, sorry.
No, yeah.
All right, so GGPO, which I try to mention every podcast, it's now free to license. For those not in the know, it's like a gameplay netcode optimized for fighting games.
Yeah.
But, you know, not just fighting games, but like just everything, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2D games mostly. So anyway, that shit is now free as opposed to just merely incredibly cheap. So
all the coding is all free. Like you could download the source code and then edit it yourself, and that would be fine as well.
Yes, absolutely.
You can do whatever you want with it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now Ty, cool. let me just hold on a second there, buddy. I think it's just more efficient and financially viable to create my own online system. I mean, it's worked for some companies very well in the past. I mean, look at Nintendo and how well they're doing with their own.
Oh,
butter smooth, man.
Right?
Are you trying to kill Ty or something? What's wrong with you?
Right? So are you reading this off X you got from Nintendo?
I don't know, man. Just think about this logically. I mean, don't look in my pockets. I might have a fistful of guineas or something that I got from somewhere.
But... Yeah, well, there's like a... Yeah, we were talking about this in the Discord. There was that article that was written by the Infill guy that he worked... God, I don't remember if he worked at Iron Galaxy, but he made the whole Killer Instinct guide. And he interviewed a bunch of guys that work on in the industry and with Netcode. And, you know, there was a Japanese developer who, like, right before it went free, he was asking a bunch of questions, like, just on Twitter, like, hey, where can I get some GGPO resources? I'm kind of interested in putting it in my game. Because, like, it's finally gotten to the point where, like, just swaths of gamers are just tweeting nonstop. Like, is your fighting game going to have GGPO? Is it going to have GGPO? Is it going to have GGPO? Because, you know, SNK just recently put out Samurai Showdown, and it's, you know, it's a simple 2D fighting game. It's really good. It's a good game, but it has the shittiest fucking net code. Holy shit. It's like some Stone Age, like, circa 2000 shit. Wow. And like, it's finally getting to the point where, like, dudes are up in arms. Like, there's no excuse. You got GGPO, GGPO. Just say it over and over, GGPO.
Well, yeah. when they asked that, all the Japanese developers here is like, new phone, who dis? Like, I ego wakarimasen. It's like, I don't understand.
Right, yeah, there has been, there may be an issue with, like, you know, documentation, like, not being in Japanese. And, like, okay, so the thing is with GGPO, if you want to read into a whole bunch of technical stuff, you can do that. But, yeah, if you read the article, like, you can't just drag and drop it into a game. The game has to be kind of built around it or be able to have the entire game state stored in, like, a small amount of data. And I mean, you can do that with an emulator easy. Like, every fucking simple emulator thing should have, like, a rollback netcode. It's easy. But, like, if it's like a floating point based programmed game, like anything on Unreal Engine, it's not gonna fucking work, right? Or if it does, it'll take, like, a tremendous amount of resources to make work. So it's like something you have to plan for right from day one, rather than, you know, like, making your game first and then figuring out netcode, because that's not going to fucking work.
That's how Nintendo always does it.
Right?
Ty, what you're saying about, what were you saying about documentation just reminded me of something. Like, some of my students, they're, like, doing game programming and, like, VR and stuff like that. And, like, something like the Oculus, for example, which some of my students...
Right.
Program for, like, all the documentation, everything is in English. Like,
right. Yeah. There's probably
the,
like,
thing itself. So, and it is, I mean, some of my students they're good at programming, they're good at maths, but they're not good at English. So, right? Like, there's, like, a big hurdle.
Like, yeah. Like, online, there's, like, just an ocean of information. Like, every programming problem ever has been solved, but not in Japanese necessarily.
Right. 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 Yeah. Yeah, 80% of the internet is English.
Yeah. And also, I want to remind you guys about Mortal Kombat 10 or Mortal Kombat X, if you were. That game shipped with, like... Yeah, that's not even the newest one. It's the next, the newest one. And that game is shipped with, like, shitty-ass garbage netcode out from somebody's butt. Like, all the previous Mortal Kombat games. And so... At some point, they decided, okay, we're gonna add GGPO, and God, I don't know if that game is Unreal Engine or not, but in any case, it was not designed for GGPO, but they fucking implemented it, and it took them literally like 8 man years of labor, of programming work to implement GGPO, and like if they had planned from the beginning. And separated, like, the game state from, like, the graphics engine, like, they could have done it. Like, you know, that's what the Killer Instinct guys did. Like,
they updated Mortal Kombat 10 with just a patch, like a free patch after doing
it. Yeah, they did.
So 8 man years, and then it's like, yeah, free update. There you go, boom.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, I'm pretty sure users basically billions. had to re-download the entire game, more or less. Like, Yeah, like it was like an intense amount of labor. It would probably cost them a lot of money, and they should get a huge fucking clap for doing that. Ty, like for free.
Can you play like the original trilogy, like 1, 2, or 3, online?
They did. Like, yeah, they did release it a while back, and that was before they got woke to good net code. So it sucks.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, that would be a cool collection, actually, like a Mortal Kombat trilogy collection with online play.
Yeah, they were actually planning on like redoing all the graphics, like the same way too. Yeah. Like they were like redigitizing people and redoing all the frames of animation.
Wow. Okay, I might be done with that, but still.
Yeah, and like they actually did all the photography, but like
oh, they did.
Jeez. For at least like 1 and 2, I think, but I don't know if they got around to 3. But like it got canceled at some point, and it was like a huge disappointment. But you can find that stuff online. Okay. Totally look for it. It's amazing. Like they got new actors, and they just redid all the same animation, and it was great.
Can you imagine they got the same actors and everything? So.
Yeah, they're a little old for that though. They still use one of the original guys for motion capture, I think.
Wonder how many years Goro's got on him these days.
Right?
Probably, it's probably up there in the thousands.
Yeah. So one last point I want to make about GGPO is if you're doing an old game, like, you know, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, a Neo Geo, like any old 2D game, it absolutely should be GGPO. Like 100%. There's no excuse not to use it, especially now.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to implement that. Because, you know, if you have an emulator that can save your game state, that's all you need. Right?
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm really hoping all the pirate emulators start implementing GGPO so we can play like the full library of like Nintendo and Super Nintendo stuff lag free.
Ooh, well, as long as we're in Japan on a wired connection, yes.
No, like you.
I know.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
I forgot to mention it in my new business, but I was playing some GGPO games with some dudes in various places around North America, and it was like almost perfect.
Yeah.
So good.
Almost.
No, it was perfect.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I play Smash with James, like, just down the road, and like there's this huge input lag. It sucks.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's my
weekly GGPO rant.
There it is.
There you go. I hope you learned something.
Probably. No. Yeah. So actually, this evening, this is kind of hot off the presses news. Even after reading it, I still kind of don't even know what the hell's going on. So Suda51 is teaming up with another creator, Sweary65. He's creator of Deadly Premonition, not too familiar with it, but basically they're teaming up to make like a new game, and they were on an IGN Japan stream, basically just kind of just hashing out some ideas, I guess.
Right.
This like, sounds like a dream team to me.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds cool, but like, I was expecting like maybe them to like come on and talk about something in like more specific details, but reading through this article, it sounded like they were just like brainstorming.
The best bit of this story is that in 2018 they said that they wanted to get together and, you know, hash out some ideas, but all they would do was just get drunk and then forget about what they talked about. So it's like, finally, you know.
I mean, that's the time-honored Japanese development method, really.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
But
I mean, this is kind of like almost like
good, though. I mean, what they came up with is a mobile game, which might come to Switch or Stadia, but called Hotel Barcelona.
Yes.
So, but yeah. It's probably like on the napkin stage, I would call it. You know,
yeah, could take place in Barcelona or Tokyo or South Africa or Venezuela, but
yeah, that sounds like drunk talk to me.
Yeah, so
good luck to him.
Yeah, I think let's just leave it at that. Last one here, Ty, did you put this one on here?
I did. Now, Capcom told their stockholders they want to revive some of their dead or unused franchises in wake of like some recent successes, like like I guess Resident Evil, like that was a big one they pointed to, was just rebooting Resident Evil 2. I'm not sure if I'd call it a dead franchise, but they've been seeing some relative success. And you know, Capcom is sitting on like a lot of IPs.
Oh yeah,
right. I mean, remember for a while they had like the whole studio set up just to make new IPs, and none of them sold a million copies, so they gave that up. Yeah. Even though they were amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
Right. So you know the article I saw, they said like Darkstalkers, Dino Crisis, and I'm like, okay, but how about some fucking God Hand?
Isn't that still exist, that franchise?
God Hand? No, they only that was a one and done.
Oh, was it?
Sorry, Danny, I think you're thinking of God Eater.
That's it.
Yeah. God Eater 3 was recently released on Switch. You know, God Eater is also big in Japan, but
So God Hand is an amazingly great and wonderful game for a certain kind of person. IGN rated it 3 out of 10. Okay. And people pointed. Yeah, and people point to that all the time. It's like video game journalists, LOL. God Hand is an incredibly wild and funny game that I really want to see come back.
Adam in the chat, he wants Darkstalkers.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not sure if I want Capcom in the year 2019 to make it, but I do want a new Darkstalkers. I want Darkstalkers to... I want Capcom to farm it out to Lab Zero, who recently just finished, Indivisible, and are a top expert at like 2D fighting games. I don't know if they'll do that, but that would be great.
Dead Rising? They did that kind of recently, didn't they?
Is that dead enough? I don't know.
Is it? I mean, what, they had a game within the past 7 years? Like Xbox One, PS4 launch, right?
Yeah. What haven't they touched in a while? Bionic Commando? Ghosts and Goblins, yeah. That's a good one. I was thinking of that.
Beautiful Joe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yep. Steel Battalion.
That was Capcom?
Was it?
Super Puzzle Fighter.
Puzzle? Oh, that would be good. Yeah. Oh man, if you want to talk about fighting games, they have so many dead fighting game franchises. Here we go. Like new Rival Schools, new Star Gladiator. I would buy that. Nobody else would, but I would.
I don't even know what that is.
Right? New Gunbird. I know a bunch of weird dead gay games that
I just remember reading about Rival Schools back in the day, and it just seemed so cool. I never bought it though.
They have a Rival Schools 2 arcade machine over at that arcade in Takada Nobaba.
The one that's dying?
You remember I mentioned it. The monitor was kind of in bad shape, but you know, it was operational and it was fun.
Is Bionic Commando count as a dead franchise?
Yeah, it's been probably 10 years since the last one, right?
Was
it? Yeah, they should bring back those remakes that they did on.
Yeah, those were
arcade.
Amazingly well received.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should bring both of those back.
Yeah. Bring back Red Earth. Bring back Cyberbots. I could go on.
Yeah.
You guys haven't heard of any of these games.
Yeah. That's the cool thing about like some of these companies. I mean, they have so much stuff to fall back on, but they don't. But it'd be neat to see some of these things reimagined and stuff. But
Dead Phoenix, right, Danny?
Hey, that's Factor 5.
Dead Phoenix, Capcom 5.
Oh, Capcom, no,
the one
sorry.
That didn't come out.
Yes.
Yeah, the Capcom 5. That was the only one that didn't come out.
Product PNO3's out. Yeah, Resident Evil 4. I thought there might have been a couple, but.
I think it came out.
Right.
Oh, what about Sai's favorite game recently, Demon's Crest? or that.
Oh, yeah, that would be a good one. They should. Well, you mentioned Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah, same thing in it.
Yeah. same ballpark, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
DuckTales 3, anyone?
Yeah, like I didn't even want to mention any of the Disney games, but
Well, yeah, especially now. I don't think Disney are up for any collaborations, are they? Oh no, but they are doing the Lion King one, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, don't forget the DuckTales remake they did a few years ago. They nailed it. It was so good.
Mm. Well, Disney did it, but yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Capcom delivered, by farming it out to Way Forward. I believe it was.
Capcom didn't do shit for that.
Which was the absolute best thing Capcom would do.
Yeah.
Or could do. So hats off to them.
Yeah. You know, even with this upcoming Lion King and Aladdin thing that's coming out, and, you know, I get that they're trying to go for, like, this definitive version, and this has been said by a million people by now, but why the fuck would you not include the Super Nintendo version, too?
Yeah. Right? There was some weird licensing thing or something.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it's something like that, not just like, we couldn't be fucking bothered to do it. Here's the Game Boy version. Thanks.
Super Nintendo Aladdin, right, is not on.
Yeah.
That's weird because that's my favorite of all of those games. Lion King's not very good. Aladdin is good, actually. The Genesis version and the Super Nintendo versions are both good, but like I just personally prefer the Super Nintendo version because it's like more acrobatic.
Yeah,
and that's the one version that's not on. It's like fuck up.
Yeah. Oh man, I just remembered Area 88, aka UN Squadron. One of the best Super Nintendo games, hands down. And you guys, have you played it?
No, I have not.
Check it out. It's sort of a shooty Danmaku kind of game.
Are they making Final Fight 4? Or did I imagine that? Or is that something else 4?
I think you hallucinated that, because if they did, I would be going nuts.
But isn't it a remake of like a beat 'em up? Coming up,
they released a beat 'em up collection like a few months ago.
I swear I heard there's like a fourth version of, maybe it's not Final Fight. What's the other big scrolling beat 'em up?
Streets of Rage. Yeah, there's a new Streets of Rage coming out. That's not Capcom.
Oh, Streets of Rage 4. Yeah,
yeah. James, I think you were getting confused with To the Earth 2, which does not exist.
Oh man, what? Man, but you know, Capcom still seems weirdly big on Final Fight for not releasing any Final Fight games in the last 10 years. It's like, so Street Fighter V has so many Final Fight characters now. Yeah. And it's really fun to the extent because they're characters I like. I love all the Final Fight characters. They're wacky and they're fun.
No, that's the Addams Family.
Right? Yes. They're creepy and they're kooky. Yeah,
right.
Mysterious and spooky.
Should we move on? Well, I think that's going to do it for the Japanese, so let's go ahead and move into
Tide. Capcom needs to sink like $60 million into a Final Fight remake.
Okay,
now I'm done.
Okay, all right. On that note, let's go ahead and move into some feedback. And if you would like your question, comment, or any of that type of thing right on the air, feel free to send us an email at thefamicast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at thefamicast. Hit us up here on YouTube at thefamicast. Obviously, if you're here, you know where it is. Go to our website, famicast.com, and you can have your comments or questions read out on the air like these guys. So, James, I know we have some comments on some of our videos.
These are all for you, Danny. Are you ready?
Okay.
Question one, Doraemon Story of Seasons demo video that you captured. Timo Yones says, how long is the demo?
It's as long as you want it to be. I quit after about an hour because I was just sick of it.
Question two, from the Super Famicom controller showcase, is Yondu Smith says, does it work on a PC via Bluetooth or USB?
Hell, you could probably do that. I haven't tried it, but I don't see how it wouldn't work.
Yeah, like all the Switch controllers work on your PC or Mac.
Yeah.
So you should be all good. Last one, same guy. Oh, no, he just asked the same question, but on the Famicom controllers video.
That one might, that one would only be Bluetooth, but I'm pretty sure it's possible to use those controllers. I just haven't tried it because I haven't had any need to do that. So,
yeah. All right. What else are we doing? Twitter?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's see what we have on Twitter. we changed our avatar picture to a Halloween one. We are now the Famicursed.
Woo!
You get it?
Too spooky.
Anyway, I and our friend of the show, she says it's very cute. She likes the new logo. We actually did it last year as well. Yeah. Luca was asking if we were safe after the super typhoon that almost killed us at the end of the last episode. And, killed Cyrus, apparently.
Yeah.
He's not in Japan.
Me too. I'm dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Actually, sorry.
Spooky enough for you?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy up where you are, right? Like, there was actually some pretty significant damage and stuff, right, due to flooding?
Yeah, my town got fucked up.
Okay.
I'm fine, though.
Good.
The last one in September, it was really bad here in Chiba, and they actually did kind of, like, throw a lot of shit around and kind of, like, damaged a few, not, like, seriously, just, like, broke a few things in my garden. But this one, the super typhoon, it would look like it was heading right for where I lived, and then it just made, like, a sharp turn north, and it just completely missed Chiba. All we got was, like, a bit of rain. It was, like, super, super lucky. So, yeah, Luca, yes, we are fine. Thank you very much. And thank you for worrying about us. We're all good. Luca always asks about us. You know, he's worried about us. We're okay. Who else we got here? What's Perry saying? Perry Burkham. Perry Burkham, friend of the show. He did our music, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's just commenting on the the Halloween avatar as well. People love the avatar, Danny. What can I say?
Yeah, it's a good one.
I changed my personal avatar to a spooky Halloween one as well.
The on the Patreon, we got a Patreon website. We have a few comments which we could read out. Chris Blackstone saying, "Hey to Danny, I didn't think it would come to this, but I'm starting to miss Danny's endless coverage of baseball games." Danny, is it coming back? Any more baseball games coming?
I'm just waiting for Professional Baseball Spirits to not only release on PS4 and Vita. I'm waiting for them to cross over. It's the same engine as Power Pros.
Okay.
If you even know if any of the words that just came out of my mouth, good. If not, carry on.
All right then. Rich Catalano is saying, "Rip in peace, Cyrus." Just to be clear, he isn't actually dead. He's just dead to us.
Yes.
I guess the rest of the comments are secret because they're commenting on videos which are for patrons only. And you guys are not allowed to know about that. Uh-huh. Unless you give us $3.
$3. Join our
fabulous patron. One thing that I wanted to bring up that actually I think it happened shortly after our last episode, but Russ also had a comment about Resident Evil 5, and he said, "I must have finished this game five or six times across the 360 and Xbox One. It gets a bad rap." So Ty, you mentioned that you had played the game through to completion. I did as well. I got the game when it first came out on PS3 here in Japan before it came out in the West. Felt so cool, and then I didn't play it.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But same, man. Like, I played that game co-op with a friend, and it's a hell of a lot more enjoyable when you do that.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. The buddy I played it with, we had a whole bunch of in jokes about like our playthrough of Resident Evil 6. I really love the henchman character. What's his name?
6 or 5.
Yeah. Oh, 5.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I've barely touched 6, okay. But yeah, I have some good memories of 5 that I probably would not have if I just played it by myself.
Yeah, I just couldn't play it by myself. I just got bored. But yeah, playing with another friend was a lot of fun. Like you said, James, yeah, if you find somebody else to pick it up, you know somebody else that's going to pick it up, I'm sorry, it's not going to be me.
It's got split screen as well as online on the. Yeah.
Well,
on the
even when you're online, I think that they do the stupid bullshit thing where it's split screen. I don't remember, but it's kind of dumb. But.
I don't know about that, but I just played the first hour of 5 and 6 each, and I could see 5 being, you know, potentially fun. You know, it's like a Resident Evil 4, but with just a lot more action, yeah. Less of the horror. But yeah. 6 yeah, seemed very sterile and boring to me, and just super weird that you can spin the camera around like 360, like, you know, like Wind Waker camera on a mm-hmm. Resident Evil game. It just felt very weird to do that, like a super fast spinny around camera. But yeah, Adam's joining in there. Resident Evil 5 is not bad at all in co-op, he says.
Yep.
So yeah,
I haven't touched 6 at all. It just seemed not good, so I just didn't even bother.
But these games are both 3,400 yen on the eShop, which is, you know, maybe a little bit more than it should be. But
yeah, there is the triple pack that is going to be significantly cheaper if you take into consideration all 3 of the games are on there, you know.
Yeah, if you bide your time, you can get all the Resident Evil games for super cheap.
Yeah, I'll probably just do that. So I look forward to my thoughts on Resident Evil 5 in 2025.
There it is.
On Switch Pro. All right, then. I think that's all we have, Danny.
Okay. Yeah, again, if you guys have any questions or anything that you want read out on the next show, please feel free to send us a line.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, send us a line. Yeah, join us online.
Join us online. Here is James's personal line account. I will also be giving out his my number later on in the show. So.
Right.
Oh, man.
My number.
Anyways, I think that's going to pretty much do it for the show. We're going to go ahead and give out our Twitter handles before we wish you a happy Samhain / Halloween. if you want, yeah, it's not Samhain. I forgot how Cyrus actually said to pronounce it. But anyways, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can. You can follow me at DannyBib, DannyBiv. James, where can we find you?
It's right there on the screen, Danny. But I guess if you're listening, it's at Fami Complicated. It's not that complicated.
And Ty.
Super Cat Drugs. Please check out my hot takes on supporting online free-to-play games with in-game purchases.
Mm. All right.
I have the hottest take.
Cool. Hot. All right. Well, that is going to do it for Famicast 160. Thank you guys so much for joining in live and commenting here on YouTube. It's always great to have you guys watching. It's fun. And
if you want to buy me a birthday present, just join our Patreon. That's good enough. $3. That's all I need for my birthday present. Thank you very much.
$3.
I'll buy some chocolate with it. I mean,
cool. All right. Well, we are going to get out of here. Thanks again, guys, and we'll catch you later. See ya.
Peace.
I'm great, yes, it's a shame. I declare, Mr. Lord, you all complain. I laugh when you ask why I wear the mask. I'll explain. It's because I'm Bane. Yes, that's my name. You say it to him, what's the name becomes a name. Of course, some think my plan lacks gain. You say it to my face, I'll crash your plane. When I say no, you say survival. No, no. When I say no, you say survival.
You suck, Bane.
Who said that? Wait. Stop the music. Kill them all.